Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? Knowing God loves somebody, He loves you.
A handful of
I'm not going to say a handful, you know, I'm going to say several, you know, athletes at, you know, high levels who have gotten caught doping or drugging have tainted their sports to the point now where, you know, every professional sport has in-depth drug testing. And one of the only reason why Lance Armstrong was caught is because of the technology that was developed that could detect if a person had high levels of EPO in their system, a system that helped push oxygen to the muscles to have the muscles perform better. And, you know, that was in his urine, from a urine sample, that they found they had those high elevations. And that he was blood doping, storing up blood. And then at the end of a race, getting these blood transfusions with the blood that had the enhancements in it that helped him to recover faster than the other athletes who were competing. And it's just a really, really strange thing to ask these athletes, you know, is it really worth it? Was it really worth it? And, you know, it seems, I guess, if you, from interviewing them and talking to them, that at the time they were in such a competitive mode that they thought it was worth it. And then as the scandal breaks free, as far as Lance Armstrong, that there were so many people that were involved that this thing became such a beast that it got out of control, and that in many cases, you know, the athletes weren't the only ones doing it, but, you know, people could say, well, everybody else is doing it, and that was the only way to compete at their high level was to participate in this doping and drug use. And so, you know, you get caught up with everybody's doing it. So much money is on the line, so many millions of dollars for contracts and sponsors and all of this, that, you know, people get caught up in that and they think they have a method that works, but it only takes one time for you to come up a little dirty, and then the doctors and then the sponsors and then the hotel people and, you know, you name it, the massage, the masseuses, everybody begins to come into play. And when you have those many people that come into play, somebody's going to say something. In other words, loose lips sink ships. And, you know, I think, you know, guys get so cocky that, you know, they think they can just say something or tell somebody and not think that it gets out. It's gotten to the point now, even, you know, when I was watching the football game tonight between the San Francisco 49ers and the Atlanta Falcons, and just to see these guys and the athletes that they are and just how big and fast and strong they are. And, you know, in the back of my mind, I was like, you know, the athletes, you know, 20 years ago weren't that big, weren't that fast, weren't that strong. And just wondering, you know, how have these guys begin, you know, progress to be so big and so fast and so strong, you know, in 20 years? You know, if you put a team side by side with the 49ers or the Falcons team, you know, with the shirts off, you know, you would be like, wow, how do these guys play football? And these guys on this team would never be able to, you know, these guys from the 80s would never be able to beat these guys from the 2012, 2013 team, because they're just too big and too fast and too strong. So is it the exercising that they're doing, the training that they're doing, the nutrition that they're doing, or is it, you know, when these guys get, you know, in high school, get into college, are they using, you know, performance enhancing drugs? Are they you know, doing things that are, you know, illegal and getting under the radar of testing? to the point where, you know, they just develop so fast, so big and so strong, and recover from injuries, you know, so fast. It's almost scary to see how fast they, you know, do this recover. I know, you know, in the 80s, if someone had a knee injury, you know, he was pretty much, his career was over. I mean, we have technology now where they can do arthroscopic surgery and repair knees or in the past, you had to split your whole knee open and, you know, make type of recovery. But it just seems like something is being used for these guys to recover. You look at Adrian Peterson, who had, I believe it was ACL and LCL, cruciate ligaments replaced last year. And he came back and he was like almost broke Eric Dickerson's 2,000, I forget how many yards in a single season. And I'm saying to myself, really? somebody else outside of sports might have said the same thing, but really? This guy, you know, has two ligaments, anterior, anterior ligament repair, and he comes back, and it's almost like he has a bionic knee. Somebody help me out here. We're talking about doping. Blood doping and drugs and athletics. If you want to be a part of this conversation, please call in at 347-324-5569, 347-324-5569. We're talking about blood doping and drugs and athletics. Are these athletes for real? Are they cheating the system? Is everybody doing it to the point where, you know, even the testing institutions are involved? What's going on? How can guys, you know, 20 years ago look like, you know, those regular guys off the street that have been working out to these huge guys? I mean, huge, that are running, you know, 300 pounds, running 4.5 or 4.6, that can chase a quarterback down. You know, guys coming back from injuries, looking like bionic men. I mean, go back and look at some of those tapes of Adrian Peterson. This guy was like a beast. I mean, it's like his knee was made into a bionic knee, like it was a mechanical thing. It wasn't a natural. And he's just kicking and running and mowing over people. You know, people are saying, you know, that was just the surgery and the recovery and the work ethic that he had to get back into that kind of shape. But there's never, ever been anybody to come back from those two knee surgeries, repairs, that ever came back like that. So I'm saying, what did they use? What kind of techniques have they used? What kind of drugs have they used into causing those ligaments to heal up to be so strong that you can just run over top? Somebody help me out. Am I the only one that's asking this question? To see, you know, you used to hear guys with knee injuries, three or four of them a year. You know, they're done for the season, they're out, and they don't come back. Now everybody comes back bigger and stronger. You remember that $6 million? We can rebuild them. We can make them stronger, faster. You know, but they're using bionics. But you know, in many cases, I'm thinking that, this is just my own opinion, I'm thinking that they're using some performance enhancing drugs or some blood doping, or they stored up his blood, and then when he you know, had the surgery, they put you know, a certain amount of blood or something back in the system to help him recover, and you know, all kinds of techniques, I guess, they use, whether they're legal or not, to build that muscle up, even, or that tendon or that ligament up, to be even greater, even stronger. It's just amazing to see these types of things and not wonder, is somebody doing something that's not right, that's not legal? Is somebody doing something? Is somebody, you know, doing something cutting edge, that's skirting the law, that's causing these athletes to perform, to recover, to be fast, to be, you know, stronger, quicker than ever before? What are they doing? Are they doing it in middle school? Are they doing it in high school, in college? What is going on? And, you know, because you have that questioning in your mind, because you have that doubt in your mind, you're like saying, well, yeah, these guys won the NFC Championship, but I wonder how they did it. Did they do it clean? Did they do it with just, you know, weights and working out? Or did they have some drug or something that gave them an edge where they could play better or pay a higher level for higher level for a long period of time? And, you know, what that does, it just really screws up the game for the everyday fan. All right, that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about drugs and blood doping in athletics. We're going to take a 2-minute break. We'll be right back. I want you to hold through the break.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? And He loves you.
When the 49ers beat the Falcons tonight, You know, I'm thinking through my back of my mind that they have some kind of unfair advantage. You know, the Ravens and the Patriots are playing. And, you know, early on in the Patriots coach's career, Bill Belichick, he used to have people that spy out the other team's practices. Could they give him an unfair advantage? I don't know. You know, but it's like, you know, in sports, you know, people are willing to do whatever, whenever, however, to get an unfair advantage on their opponents on the playing field. And my question is, you know, how does that make you feel that you attain a championship, you know, and you knew that you had an unfair advantage on the person who was competing according to the rules? You know, you beat them, you run over them, you constantly win. And so, you know, how does it make you feel? You know, you hear these athletes all the time say, "I want to compete against the best. You know, I want to have victory over those people who are the best." But you want to have victory over those who are the best using the same tools, going about it the same way. That means that it's all you and not the performance enhancing drug or the blood doping that's giving me that unfair advantage. We call him this man on man, and the best man, you know, or the best woman on is left standing, not with, you know, some souped up drugs, some souped up testosterone, souped up blood doping, you know those type of things make me wonder, you know, what kind of athlete are you? You know, the game requires, you know, a ball, and you come out with a bazooka, you know, because you know you using these, you know, enhancing, you know, drugs, you know, performance enhancing drugs, and this guy's got a little ball, and you got a bazooka, you know, or a big, you know, cannon gun or something. You know, how do you feel that you win? How do you take pride in taking those victories when you know you had an unfair advantage? You know, how do you take pride in that, you know, getting those gold medals when you had an unfair advantage? And how do you take pride in your, you know, your hitting, your baseball record, home run record, when you know you had an unfair advantage? You know, it's just what goes on with people that are around them, people that get them in drugs involved. You know, what's the purpose of it? I won, but I cheated like crazy. It's the same thing with football. Like I said, with Belichick, he was caught, you know, videotaping people's, you know, practicing. It was fine, you know, and the team was fine. And, you know, I videotape your practices, and I know what you're going to run and when you're going to know. I know your plays, and I'm going to beat you. You know, what happened to me lining up on the field, and, you know, I'm playing my hardest, you playing your hardest, and, you know, we're guessing and counter-guessing, you know, anticipating plays. But, you know, I'm going to beat the snot out of you because I know which plays you're going to call. How is that sports? How is that sportsmanship? How do you get any sense of satisfaction out of beating somebody when you already know what they're going to do? It's, you know, to me as a fan, you know, I played just minor sports, you know, when I was younger. Nothing, you know, on a professional level or you know, really serious level. But, you know, it was just fun to be able to compete against other guys. It was your muscles against their muscles. And, you know, you went up against them and you try to even the teams out, you know, because it was never fun. It's like everybody could shoot a three-pointer, everybody could dunk, everybody could dribble. And then you have these guys that can't dribble, can't dunk, can't shoot a jumper. And you're playing them. There's no competition there. There's no gratitude in beating them because, you know, your team is stacked. And you're not going to get any competition. So what does that say about your skill? You understand what I'm saying? What does that say about you as a coach? What does that say about you as a player that you're going to go ahead and cheat you're gonna go ahead and use drugs, you're gonna go ahead and dope, and you're gonna play against this guy that's trying to best with his own strength and his ability to work as hard as he can and put out, you know, as a natural ability, and you just stomp the guy on the ground. That's winning. That's you know, getting to a point where, you know, you feel good about that. I don't get it. But if you want to be a part of the conversation, we invite you to call in at 347-324-5569. That's 347-324-5569. We're talking about blood doping and drug use in athletes. And, you know, what I'm saying now is, you know, I don't want to, you know, accuse, you know, anybody of doing something that they're, you know, falsely accused. I'm just saying, if, you know, these things are done, what do you get out of it? And because so many people have done it, what it does is it taints your sport. It'll taint the recovery of Adrian Peterson. It'll taint the play of, you know, Coach Belichick if they win and get into the Super Bowl. Because people say, I wonder if they cheated. I wonder if they watched the practice of, you know, the Ravens. You know, the same thing with any of the teams. And so in the back of your mind, as a fan, you're saying, am I getting the best matchup? Am I getting a true matchup? Am I getting the players that are playing just on pure talent and strength and knowledge? Or am I getting something that's, you know, been, you know, hybridized or you know, made into something that really isn't? And as a fan, you know, you're disappointed. Like I said, you can go back 20 years and look at these athletes. They didn't look anything like that. You know, I know we made, you know, advances in technology and as far as training and nutrition and the way we prepare year round, but they didn't look anything like that. And you know, these guys that didn't have it, they had records, they had, you know, skills, you know, that the athletes are just now coming into play. But I'm sure they probably had some cheaters back then, but it wasn't, to me, it wasn't as widespread as it is now. It wasn't as prevalent as it is now across so many different sports. And I believe, and you let me know, I believe that it's because of the money that's involved in athletics. I believe it's because of the money that's involved in athletics that these players are getting so much money, that so much gambling is going on, and so much money is given to players that on their contracts, that if they don't succeed, then their careers and the amount of money that they can make is limited. And, you know, I believe that plays a major, major role in drugs and blood doping and performance-enhancing techniques in athletics today. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be right back. I should hold on to the break.
Yeah. Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you. Somebody.
Used on a regular basis
in his body. And, you know, no one really knows, but, you know, when you have the evidence, probably these sports enhancing, you know, drugs, you know, performance enhancing drugs, blood doping, you never know what these people are getting. You never know control levels. You know, even though the more famous, more wealthy athletes have, you know, physicians on their staff that, you know, get paid great sums of money to make sure that they're getting the right thing in the right amount. But, you know, the damage that it does to the athlete, the damage that it does to the fan. In other words, they can't trust anybody that's going to win the Tour de France now. If anybody wins the Tour de France, you know, everybody's going to say, ah, they must be doping. They must be using performance-enhancing drugs. It's because, you know, you just can't believe it. It's the same thing with the NFL, National Football League, with Adrian Peterson. He came back too fast, almost broke, you know, Eric Dickerson's single-season rushing record. He must have had some kind of, you know, performance-enhancing drug to rehab his knee. And, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. You know, this past cycle of inducting into the Baseball Hall of Fame, you know, some of the guys, you know, Pete Rose, he you know, he bet on baseball, but I believe it was Roger Clemens didn't get in because of performance enhancing drugs. You know, it's crazy to see. It was Sammy Sosa also that, you know, they were using some type of drug that wasn't banned, but it was giving them an unfair advantage. And, you know, you can look at these guys when they weren't using the drug, and they looked like regular guys. The guy Barry Bonds, you know, they looked like regular guys, you know, who were worked out every day. But my gosh, you look at them after they started using this cream or juice or whatever, you know, and it looks like, you know, they just got so, you know, out of proportion with what they were, that it had to be something that was enhancing them, that were giving them an unfair advantage to be able to, you know, carve out these records. You know, and what does that say about them compared to the guys that didn't have that advantage, who set the record, you know, decades ago? You know, who you know, just had the raw talent. They didn't have the medical ability to enhance through drugs and doping. And you know, you're saying, you know, are these athletes for real? But again, like you said at the bottom of the hour, the amount of money, don't fool yourself. The amount of money that's dumped into sports. Sports is a multi-billion-dollar industry. And if you don't have any athletes who can perform superhumanly, then your billions will slip away. And so people contact doctors and people, you know, come up with schemes and organizations and groups and ways to skirt the rules so they can develop a champion above all champions who can, you know, leap over tall buildings in single bound and, you know, stop locomotives and all of these things that, you know, they want Superman and Superwoman. And so some of it's, you know, a majority of it, I would say all of it's on the athlete, but, you know, the sponsors and the doctors and the people with the billions, you know, they play a role in it also. And then we as the fans, you know, we get dipped out, we get cheated out because, you know, the performance on the field or the playing arena or the playing field is not fair. It's tilted. It's an unfair advantage. And, you know, we're not seeing a pure sport. We're not seeing the true thing of guys and girls standing up and doing the best they can and you know, someone coming out and they say, coming out the winner, and you say, well, that's boring. Nobody wants to see that because, you know, these are just going to be some everyday regular guys, and they're not going to look fancy and fantastic, and they're not going to look, you know, as old or they're not going to look as new and entertaining as the old guys were or the old women were. And so we need to enhance this some kind of way and make the guys faster and stronger and bigger and, you know, can jump higher. And, you know, then that's going to sell, because whoever saw a 300-pound man chase down a 100, you know, and 200-pound, you know, 220-pound quarterback, and, you know, it's a foot, you know, foot race. And, you know, when you look at that, that's what people are looking for. So as fans, you know, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for something outrageous. We're looking for something that's out of the ordinary. We're looking for something that's going to give us a shock, a awe. That's what we're looking for. And so that's what they give us. You know, they give us this semblance of athleticism, but it's been enhanced by drugs and doping. It's been enhanced by, you know, unfair amounts of money going into, you know, certain ball clubs, certain, you know, franchises, you know, and you know, you can see it. You can see it. Certain teams that come on to the basketball court or the football field, and you're like, oh, my God, what is up with these guys? And then you got some come on, and you got all these superstars, but they're paying them, you know, $10 million a year. They're paying them $15 million a year. The Yankees and Nationals just signed a Soriano, a relief pitcher for the Nationals from the Yankees, and they're going to pay the guy $14 million a year. $14 million a year, 2 years, and a third year option of $14 million, and the guy most of the time has to pitch one inning. Y'all don't hear me. He has to pitch one inning. He has to be like in the ninth inning pitcher or the eighth inning pitcher. That, you know, if the starting rotation gets them, you know, six innings, you know, the seventh, eighth, and the ninth inning, one pitcher, you know, it's for the seventh inning, one pitcher for the eighth inning, one pitcher for the ninth. So he has to face, you know, a minimum of three batters and throw a minimum of nine pitches and do that, you know, one inning. I guess it would be like three games a week, and they'll pay you $14 million. You tell me. It's not an incentive for me to do whatever I have to do to make sure my performance is up to that. Now, again, I don't know if the guy's taking some kind of cream and rubbing it on his arm. They found a new way to skirt the drug testing. I don't know, but, you know, to pay someone that kind of money, you think that would influence? You don't think that would have an influence on them whether they want to cheat or not? And that's what I'm saying between the older guys, older teams, and the newer teams. The older teams didn't get paid anywhere close or near the amount of money that these guys are getting paid now. And so they played for the sport of it. They played for the fun of it. They played for the competition of it. And now it's about money. Yeah, they play for the sport of it. Yeah, but it doesn't even seem like they get angry anymore or have rivalries anymore. It's like, you know, they come on the field and like they're in love with each other. You know, it's like, you know, there's no angry or I'm upset that you beat me. I'm going to get you next time. You know, it's not a thing of, all right, let's go have dinner, blah, 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 you know. And guys don't stay on teams, you know, long enough anymore to build any type of chemistry. You know, it's rare for guys to stay on a team 5 years. You know, you have one or two teams where the player's been there, you know, since they were drafted. But usually after 3, 4, 5 years, they're going somewhere else for more money, you know. And if I'm going somewhere for more money, I have to try out and I have to, you know, perform and all these things, then, you know, whatever they do to get ready, they're going to do to get ready. Same thing with, you know, college kids coming out of for football, going to combines, you know. Have they been doing whatever they've been doing leading up to it? You know, it's because of money. Because you do well in the combine, you're going to go high in the draft. You go high in the draft, you're going to sign a lucrative contract and get a lucrative signing bonus. and, you know, to heck with the game, to heck with my body, and to heck with the fans. I'm getting a lucrative signing bonus. I'm getting a lucrative contract. If I need to dope a little bit, if I need to drug a little bit and get below the radar or fly in the clouds where they don't understand, then that's what I'm going to do, because I only get this one chance to get this contract and get this signing bonus. And so this is what I believe. We're seeing more doping. We're seeing more drugs, performance-enhancing drugs in sports because of the money, because of the contracts that these men and women can get by being, you know, this superstar athlete. All right, we're going to take another break, and we're going to come right back. We'll be back in about 2 minutes.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Leagues and, you know, buys the video games and buys the tickets and the
and the memorabilia and the jerseys and, you know, all of these things the fans buy. They adore their athletes like gods. They adore them. And, you know, they have great joy in watching their teams compete and, you know, seeing the entertainment that is provided. It's something that they look forward to week after week. But if you begin to start telling your fans that, you know, you don't care, you know, if the game is rigged or not, as long as I get paid, your fans will start drying up. Your fan base will start drying up. They'll stop coming out to the games. They'll stop participating. They'll stop buying the jerseys. And so, you know, that's how you deal with it. If you stop buying the jerseys, if you stop coming out to the game, if you stop, you know, buying what the sponsors have on the TV during the games, when that begins to dry up, and the only reason is that they can think of is because the fans believe that the game is being compromised, that they're bringing down the game, then that's when it'll change. That's when people say, wow, I'm not getting my billions in revenue now. My stadiums or my arenas or my bleachers are not filled. Why is this? Because people don't believe the athletes are participating as clean athletes or as pure athletes. And so watching the sport is not interesting to me because I don't know if, you know, these guys have an unfair advantage. And if they do, then, you know, it's not really a thing of competition. It's just a thing of somebody having an unfair advantage going out and playing against someone that has a lesser chance of winning. And that's not sports. That's not true competition. I believe that people love to see pure, true competition. And when that doesn't happen, you know, it's not even, football is not even interesting anymore. Basketball is not even interesting. Track is not even interesting. You know, whatever these athletes are doing, you know, it's like, yeah, they did it, but there's always going to be an asterisk now. Yeah, they did this, but yeah, he won this many, you know, championships, but, you know, why? Yeah, he's got these records, but yeah, he surpassed him, but because of the amount of drugs and doping that are going on in sports today. So, again, the only way to stop it is to stop participating in going and sanctioning buying tickets and going and cheering. And if we begin to stop backing up off of that, make a concerted effort to back up off it, watch how things will begin to change. If you begin to say, how am I going to believe that this guy is 300 pounds, 6'6", can run a 4.5, and you're telling me that that's just all natural, and he does it, you know, week after week, night after week, never gets tired, never has any problem, you know, that's just you know, something is not natural in the situation. So, you know, if we begin to start pointing those things out, we begin to start talking to the sponsors, and the people begin to start expressing their voice that the sports aren't the same, and we're not coming to them because, you know, athletes are like bionic men and women. They're not the athletes that compete on a normal level. And then there might be a section of people to say, heck with that. You know, I want to see them juiced up and playing, you know, at freak mode. And hurting themselves and wearing braces and still playing. I know Ray Lewis was playing with a you know, big thing on his right arm. You know, whatever he has to do to get ready, you know, it doesn't look like it bothers him. Quarterback with the Redskins, RG3, you know, he's running around with a brace on, limping, and, you know, just out there competing. Like, you know, I don't know. It's amazing to see, and, you know, at the same time, in the back of your mind, you're saying, I wonder what they're taking to be able to do this. I might be wrong. I don't want to falsely accuse anybody, but I can oppose the question that, you know, this is not normal. There's something else being used to enhance, to cause them to get well, to cause them to get stronger and faster in such a short period of time. And I believe sometimes that these things that they're using gives them unfair advantage. You know, that's just my humble opinion. You know, take it for what it's worth. But, you know, that's what I find myself doing. You know, I'm going to turn the game on between the Ravens and the Patriots. And if the Patriots win by, you know, some kind of amount or any amount, that I'm going to go ask my question. I wonder if Belichick had any, you know, film on them that gave them an unfair advantage to be able to win this game. And, you know, he might have left all that stuff alone. But in the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, that guy was caught doing it before. You know, I'm wondering if he's doing it again. And, you know, I wonder how, you know, the Patriots keep, you know, getting to the championship. Is because they're good as athletes, or is it they're good at cheating? And sadly to say, you know, there'll probably be more cases, you know, maybe not as prominent as Lance Armstrong or Marion Jones, but there'll be, you know, more and more cases out there of people that, you know, the money is good and I'm going to do it. And, you know, it'll come and we'll get our feelings hurt again, and, you know, then we'll raise up our next hero. We'll raise up our next superstar and trust and hope and believe, you know, that he's clean and, you know, he's not drugging or doping, and we'll ride the wave with him until, or her until, you know, they fall down. And, you know, we say it's all good, and we smile and pick them back up and dust them off and put them back in the race because, you know, we got that entertainment value from them at whatever, you know, state of having unfair advantage was. And it was our team, and our team makes it all the way and wins the title or the championship, then some kind of way we rationalize that it's okay. And, you know, everybody's got to play a role, the fan, the team, the organizations, the players. Everybody's got to, you know, play a role, try to help the integrity of the game. And fans can do it by, you know, voting with their feet. If they continue to see, you know, this type of behavior, I support. You know, spending the money. And, you know, when that happens, for some reason, it gets people's attention. For some reason, that mighty dollar will get people's attention. And that can get down to the athletes and say, hey, you know, the popularity of the sport is waning because so many athletes are believed to be cheating. And we have to do, you know, athletes all over the world have to do a better job of communicating, being transparent with testing, with whistleblowing, as far as, you know, letting people know, you know, what someone's doing and who's doing something illegal. It will make this type of thing begin to be a little less and a little less as time goes on. That's what we wanted to talk about tonight. Drugs, not doping, and athletes, you know, is it worth it? You know, what is it doing to our, what is it doing to our sports? What is it doing to our getting excited and having hope in these great athletes, men and women? What does it do to our confidence? And, or has it become jaded or skeptical like I've become? And if any team wins, I'm asking them, you know, how many of those guys are juicing? How many of those guys are hot? How many of those guys are taking something that gives them an unfair advantage? I'm getting like that in sports. When I was young, I was no way like that. But, you know, as every week somebody, more and more people come out, you say, how can you even, you know, do a Hall of Fame? How can you do a World Series? How can you do, you know, any of these things? And and honor people, you know, from a certain era because they're continuing to cheat. They're continuing, you know, their record of cheating, their record of you know, using drugs and blood doping. Their record is tarnished. And so any records go in will go in with an asterisk that, you know, this person used performance enhancing drugs. So prayerfully, fans began to start pushing back and demanding that there be accountability in this area, and from the doctors to the organizations to, you know, the all of the support staff, that everyone, you know, be on the same page and be clear that, you know, this type of behavior of drugging and doping is not acceptable at any level. All right. That's going to do it for us tonight. Again, we thank you for tuning in. And Lord willing, we'll see you again on Friday night. God bless and take care.